Our Old Testament reading this morning is going to come from the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis. We'll be reading from verse 3 through 11, and then we'll skip down and read verse 15. It is part of a well-known story, the story of Joseph and his 12 brothers. But let us at this time listen to God's word for us. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Make haste and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. And there I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, unless you and your household and all that you have come to poverty.'" And then verse 15. "And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." Our gospel lesson will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 6th chapter of Luke's gospel, verses 27 through 38. Found on page 895 of your pew Bibles. And so again, let us listen to God's word for us. "But I say to you," says Jesus, that here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good, and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The word of the Lord. Reading the Bible is always a dangerous enterprise. It can easily change the way we view the world and change our perspective, change the way we look at people. One of the stories in the news that caught my attention this week was the story of Huda Muthanna. If her name doesn't sound familiar, she's the young woman who left a few years ago to go to Syria to join what was called the Islamic State. She was only 18 at the time, and of course, one of the dangers of the internet is that it's easy for young people to become radicalized, and so that's what happened to Huda. She became radicalized over the internet, and she decided, over the objections of her family and those who loved her, to go to Syria and to join up with ISIS, as it was called. However, when she got there, she learned the hard way that the so-called Islamic utopia that she was promised was anything but. She was locked away with over 200 other young women and girls and forced to choose a husband from a list of Islamic fighters. She's now living in a refugee camp in Syria with her toddler son after fleeing the remnants of the Islamic State. But she was in the news because she has requested to return to the United States, where she was born. She knows that she has ruined her own life, and she is prepared and willing to take responsibility for her actions, but she wants a better life for her toddler son, and so she is requested to come back to the United States. But that request has been denied. For the most part, there's some controversy as to whether or not she was actually ever an American citizen, despite the fact that she was born here and given a passport, but her request has been denied. When I first heard that story this week, that this young woman wanted to return to the United States, I was a little grumpy about that. No way, I said to myself, should she be allowed to come back here to the United States after leaving to join the ranks of our enemies? But then I had to grapple with our text this morning, both of them having to do with mercy. Be merciful, says Jesus in our gospel reading this morning. Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Mercy. You know as well as I do that we live in a world that is not inclined to show us a whole lot of mercy. Outside of our family, you're not likely to be shown very much mercy. The bank won't show you any mercy if you overdraw on your account. The gas company won't show you any mercy if you fail to pay your bill on time. You're not likely to be shown any mercy if you park in the wrong spot. I know that from experience. I got a parking ticket not long ago near the University of Penn. When I looked at the ticket, it was for $300. And I remember saying to myself, good gracious, I need some mercy. I remember after I called them, they said, "Sorry, Mr. Barge, you should have saw the sign. Only thing we can do for you is work out a payment plan." I said, "I don't need a payment plan. I need some mercy." And isn't that what we all want from time to time? Isn't that what we all need from time to time? A little bit of mercy. Mercy assumes an asymmetrical relationship where one person has a little bit of power over the other. If not the power of life and death, at least the power to affect someone's life for good or for ill. And that's the kind of power that Joseph has over his brothers in our Old Testament reading this morning. Many of us know the story of Joseph well. He was cruelly sold into slavery by his brothers and eventually taken into Egypt by some Ishmaelites. From there, things go from bad to worse. He is falsely accused of sexual assault, thrown into prison to languish and to be forgotten. And I imagine as Joseph is going through all of that, he is angry and he is rehearsing in his mind the revenge that he has planned for his brothers. But then, because of his ability to interpret dreams, he comes to the attention of Pharaoh. And before it's over, Joseph is the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. He has the power of life and death over many. He is the administrator of the distribution of grain. He will determine who gets what throughout the whole region. And then one day, after many years, he looks over the landscape and he sees a group of men coming, and he believes that he recognizes them, and he looks closer, and yes, it is them. It is his brothers, his rascal brothers, his cruel brothers, the ones who sold him into slavery. And if I were in Joseph's position, I would be rehearsing the things that I was going to do to get them back. But Joseph doesn't do what most of us perhaps would have done. He doesn't take revenge on them. Instead, he shows them mercy. We preachers like to talk a great deal about justice and righteousness. Justice and righteousness is something that comes readily to mind. It comes readily to mind when we talk about God. God is just and God is righteous. We say that all the time. Justice and righteousness. The just person and the righteous person is the person who treats everyone fairly. The just person and the righteous person is the person that gives everyone their due, everyone what they deserve. You know, I deserved that $300 ticket. I deserved it because I was in the wrong parking space. Sure enough, there was a sign there that says, "Do not park here. Parking is prohibitive. If you park here, there's a $300 fine." And I parked that anyway. I deserved that ticket. Huda Mathena deserves the consequences of leaving this country to go and join ranks with our enemies. She deserves what she gets. Joseph's brothers deserve whatever revenge, whatever payback that he has for them. They deserve that. But mercy doesn't give us what we deserve. Mercy is about giving us what we need. What we need to flourish. It gives us what we need so that our lives can be preserved. Jesus says, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. We all have a tendency to judge. I know I do. If I'm going down the street and someone asks me for something, I do a quick scan and I judge that person to ascertain whether or not they are deserving or undeserving. And I suspect we all do that. We all judge. We judge people. We want to know where people are in relation to us. Are you a friend or a foe? Are you a neighbor or a stranger? Are you one of us? Are you one of them? Are you productive or unproductive? We judge. We make our determinations. And usually the further someone is from us, the less inclined we are to show them any kind of mercy. I'm reminded of that passage in John's Gospel where the Pharisees bring a woman to Jesus, a woman who's been caught in the act of adultery, and that's what they tell her. She's been caught in the act of adultery. Now what do you say? But instead of condemning her, Jesus shows her mercy. And not only does Jesus show her mercy, but he reminds the 12 men who have drugged this poor woman before Jesus that they are probably in need of mercy too. Whoever of you have not sinned, let him throw the first stone. And none of them could throw the stone. They could only slink away because they too were in need of mercy. Of course, when they were directing their ear against the young woman, they weren't concerned about mercy at all. They were simply concerned about justice, about righteousness. Give this woman what she deserves. She deserves the death penalty. That's what the law of Moses says. Give her death. But none of them can cast the first stone, and so they just slink away. Because that's what Jesus offers this woman, is mercy. I remember in the 1980s, our country was being overtaken by an epidemic. It was a drug epidemic, crack cocaine. I was a young man in my 20s. Living in both Baltimore and Atlanta at the time, and I remember how that drug epidemic decimated a great part of the city. Crack cocaine, of course, was not the only drug. There was all kinds of drugs, including powdered cocaine, but powdered cocaine was the preserve of Wall Street types and people who had more money. Crack cocaine was especially cheap, and it was the drug of choice in some of the most vulnerable areas, in many of the inner city areas and among the poor. But it was an epidemic, devastating parts of the community. And I remember our authorities at the time wanted to take it seriously. This is an epidemic that is destroying the communities, and they resolved to meet the challenge head on. But it was interesting that they didn't treat it as a public health issue. They treated it as a war on drugs. We're going to have a war on drugs. And as you know, wars have casualties. And part of the casualties were the people who got caught up into the war on drugs. Our prison population swelled, primarily with young men of color. We still lock up more people than any country on the world, in the world. And most of it a consequence of our war on drugs. But we showed absolutely no mercy. No mercy. I'm inclined to believe that a lot of our hard-heartedness is because we lack mercy. But Jesus says, be merciful, even as your heavenly Father is merciful. Mercy, I suspect, begins with humility. Maybe that's what Joseph realized in our Old Testament story. Joseph was perhaps an arrogant young man who perhaps learned humility in all of the experiences that he had. But it begins with humility. It begins with recognizing our common humanity, that we are all brothers and sisters. That's what Joseph tells his brothers. I am your brother. I am your brother. That's something his own brothers forgot, you know, when they sold him into slavery. They didn't see Joseph as their brother. They just saw him as an annoyance. They just saw him as someone who they needed to get rid of. But Joseph remembers and he says, I am your brother. What if we could all remember that? That we're all brothers and sisters. That we're all human beings. That we all have a common humanity. How would we look at things if we remembered that? That we're all related, that we're all human beings. How would we treat immigrants coming to our country if we remembered that they're our brothers and sisters, that they're a part of our common humanity? How would we relate to people who are different from us in other ways if we remembered that we were all brothers and sisters? I am your brother. That's what Joseph tells them. Mercy also perhaps begins with the recognition that we are all sinners, that we are all in need of salvation. One of the things that impresses me about this story is not simply the mercy that Joseph shows his brother, but it's the mercy of God, how God is operating in events, how God is moving in the face of events to show mercy, not only mercy for Joseph, but mercy for Joseph's brothers. God is operating in the midst of all the cruelty. God doesn't cause it, God doesn't desire it, but God works through it. God uses it to bring about God's blessing and God's mercy. God uses the cruelty of his brothers. God uses the lies that are told. God uses it all to bring God's mercy. Perhaps that's something that we need to remember in the midst of our own lives as well, in the midst of our own world, that God is at work, that even in the difficult moments of our own individual lives and even in the cruel parts and things that we see going on in the world, that God is at work and God can use all of that to bring about God's own purposes. But in this story, God brings about salvation by showing mercy. Mercy to Joseph and mercy to Joseph's brothers. Of course, we know that God is still moving in our world. God still calls us to be merciful, to show mercy to one another. Sometimes we read what Jesus tells us about love and about reconciliation, about loving of enemies, about showing mercy, and we say, no one expects us to live like that, do they? We can't go around showing people mercy. They will simply take advantage of us. We can't go around loving people, especially loving our enemies. They will take advantage of us. No one expects us to live like that, do they? You mean to tell me that I'm supposed to love my enemies? It's hard enough to love my neighbor. Hard enough to love the people in my own family. You expect me to love my enemies too? You expect me to show mercy to everyone? You expect me not to judge people? You expect me to show mercy to people who might take advantage of me? People who live like that must be, well, there's only one word for it, suckers. Maybe. But I know someone who lives like that. I know someone who loved even his enemies. I know someone who has shown mercy without ever stopping to consider whether or not we would take advantage of him. And that person is God, God's self. As Paul says in the book of the Romans, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. We know the story of Joseph well because we know what we did to the one who was sent for our own redemption. We cruelly had him arrested. We cruelly beat him. We cruelly crucified him. We cruelly left him dead on the cross. We didn't care anything about him. We didn't even see his common humanity. That didn't make any difference to us. We had him killed. But God was working through all of that. God was working through our cruelty. God was working through our rejection. God was working through the murder in our own hearts. God was working through the crucifixion to save all of us. The cross was an emblem of God's mercy. Mercy for all of us. And now Jesus says, I am your brother. I am your brother. I am the one you crucified. I am the one you rejected. I am the one you turned your back on. I am the one you fled from. But I am your brother. I am your brother. I am the one who has come to show you mercy. God, Jesus says, is merciful. And you too should be merciful. Mercy. Let us pray. Gracious God, you know our hearts. You know how hard our hearts can be sometimes when it comes to following you. Sometimes we are so ready to judge and condemn. But you have reminded us that you have come to bring us mercy. Help us too to be your merciful people. Help us too to show mercy and to be merciful as our Heavenly Father was merciful for all of us. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.